Let's begin to calm our hearts. It's January 8th, 2023. We welcome you. This morning, I really would like to give a testimony. We're blessed to be gathered here this morning and thankful. We are free to come in the name of Holy God, Yahweh, Jehovah, and our Lord and Savior, our Adonai, Jesus Christ. I am blessed with life, breath, and the heartbeat of life. Each of us are that blessed. In a few moments, the choir is to share with us a simple worship song which contains the words, "The reason I live is to worship you." I was created to be God's, complete only in Him and not any, quote, self. Romans 12, 1 and 2. From the New King James, plus a few insertions. I urge you, therefore, because of God's love, mercy, grace, and Jesus Christ, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or worship. And do not be conformed to this world, and I'm adding everything that Satan uses for us to copy him and not God. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove or discern what is that good and perfect will of God. We use a term called detox. I got to do some detoxing on my whole way of thinking to God and be in complete unity with Him, which is possible only through Jesus Christ and livable by the Holy Spirit being in me to convey each detail from God and God's Word. God says it's me only, not both and. I must purify me, my mind, to God only and Jesus Christ. It was not until early yesterday morning that I had peace or completeness, shalom, about worship today. Finally, I grasped how God wanted me to obey. Listen quietly, honestly, to these words of worship to God. The choir will sing, and then we will join in singing. Listen with your heart.
Thank you. Shadows in the light of you. go ahead and pray. Father, we just thank you for another wonderful, glorious day, Lord. We thank you for the new promise of the new year, Lord. We pray that we would live this year out in a faithful manner that would be honored and pleasing to you, Lord, in everything that we do. We pray for the man that you'll send to us, Lord. We pray that you are already convicting his heart of the need that we have here, and we thank you for Brother JL being here within that time of waiting. Help us to be faithful in our waiting, Lord, and to wait truly on you, because you do know all best, and you know exactly who needs to be here to fill that role. We pray for the Pastor Search Committee, Lord, as they meet diligently and they pray for you to reveal to them who it is that you desire to be in this place. And we just pray that you would be with them as they meet and they discuss over the applications that they receive. And we would pray that the one that you have decided already upon, Lord, that he would just stick out, Lord, and that they would know without a doubt, and that when they contact him, that he would be ready to serve and to fulfill the role that you have called him to do. And we thank you now for this day, and we pray that you would be blessed and honored through it. We pray that you would give JL the words, and that we will receive the words that you have in store for us. May your spirit freely roam throughout this place. And it's in Jesus' powerful and holy name we do pray it all. Amen.
We ask our ushers to come forward at this time. Lord God, please help us to give with all of our heart. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have Children's Church call and Greenhouse call this morning.
Carpet, you could hear the patter of those little feet when the little ones left the room, and carpet quietens it down, doesn't it? It's good to be with you again this morning, and I hope you had a good first week of 2023. I hope you'll have some memories that you can hold on to. As far as Diana and me, our week was okay, but some of our family members, we had two that broke their bones, one an arm and one a leg this past week, had one tonsillectomy, and then we have one with strep throat, and we just quit investigating and see what else might be going on. But it is good to be with you. Do y'all have a church bulletin? That you know? Anyway, my sermon title this morning is What's Right with the Church. Now, you're looking at a guy that a few years ago could have told you what was wrong with the church. And I learned a lesson. And I've tried to be positive about the church in every way I can. And I saw a quotation the other day. You have to think about it, I guess, for a minute. Whoever came up with it said, you ought to quit knocking your church. It's probably improved since you left. And that's the way it is in some cases. But, you know, we don't want anybody to leave the church. I know there's reasons that people give for leaving the church, but we need to honor God. God is first place. We have sung praises to God this morning. We've listened to some wonderful music, instruments. Thank you for that. It's just, it sets the stage for the day, for the morning, for me. And I hope it does for you. And this morning, I've met two old-time friends that I've known for years. Faye Rogers and Judy and Clyde. Great time. Spending years ago. We interacted a lot, but I'm sure we'll meet some more folks that you might know about my past and bring it up to me in some manner or not. I don't know. But the Lord called me into ministry, and I responded, not reluctantly, but I knew when the God touched my heart and I surrendered all. I just said, Lord, it's all yours. I surrender all. We know the hymn. And I gave my wife to the Lord. I gave my children to the Lord. I gave my business to the Lord. I said, Lord, there it is. In about 3 years, folks, I was shut out of business and headed towards seminary. So here I am, close to home, and I pastored some churches. I served the director of missions of the Lord Baptist Association for 13 years. Continued there about five more and helping some churches that just needed a little nourishment. And I've been doing that ever since. Some have been just supplying the pulpit for a while. Some have been doing a transitional ministry, helping the church get structured and organized and being able to call a pastor. So I hope that while Diana and I are here, we will be offering you encouragement. I don't know whether you're disappointed about things in the church or the community or whatever, but you pray and you seek God, and He will give you direction. You know, some of you might be just like me. I've got a nice 35 millimeter camera in the carrying case, and it's just sitting there. I've got all kind of lens for it, man alive. And you know, you could focus that camera and you could photograph a gnat's eye. I mean, that's how accurate these things were. But today, look what we have. You pull out these phones we have and throw it up, it's already in focus. All you do is click it, you got a picture. And if you're at home and you got your computer set up, you can send it to the computer and have a hard copy and hand it to somebody. Focus is what is important. Focus is important for every one of us, and because we're created beings, we need to focus on the person of Jesus Christ. That makes a difference in our lives. You know, the Jewish Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6 in verse 5, it goes something like this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. Now that ought to set the stage for every human being that understands they're created beings. That's how we all got here. But you know, there was a time when Jesus was asked a question, you know, what's the greatest commandment? And he came back with something very similar, which he was actually quoting. He just said it in his word. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. And Jesus didn't stop there. Strange thing. He answered the question, but he went on and said something else that's important for all of us. Love your neighbor as yourself. Let's put that in proper context. If we care about ourselves, we will love our neighbor, and it will make a difference in our life. But what we all need to understand is it's about focus. Our focus is Jesus. Our focus this morning in our singing was about the Lord God, Jesus Christ, the person. The church ought to be Christ-honoring always. The church should be unified. There should be no dissension within it. There should be no internal conflicts. So the goal of the church is always be focused on Jesus Christ. Always be focused on him. And a church comes alive. A church becomes a living church. Living and breathing church when they're focused in a confident manner. Certain about Jesus Christ. Certain about the individual salvation. And the more people we can encourage and introduce to Jesus Christ, folks, the church grows. The church prospers. Too often people take ownership of their church. I know, I say my church, you say my church. But we need to realize the church is the means by which Jesus Christ wants us to reach out into the community. And there are many ways that that can be done. So when we focus, we need to think about our internal aspect. We've accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. We acknowledge that we were sinners, separated from a holy God. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but would have eternal life. The people that's unfamiliar with Scripture would question that. We need to be in a position to answer that kind of question. The external focus that the church needs is the Great Commission. And we as Baptists, Southern Baptists if you will, it's a go mission. As we go, we are to tell people about Jesus. And when they come to know and understand Jesus Christ, they will understand why they need to be baptized. And that will make a difference in their life for certain. But what about that eternal focus? All of us, if you asked anybody today, it doesn't matter, anybody on the streets or wherever you are, would you like to go to heaven when you die? Yeah, count me in. But you can't live, as we all say, like the devil and expect to go to heaven. We have to have a changed life. And I know Jesus was noted in Scripture asking about when the kingdom of God would come. And he said this in Luke chapter 17 and verses 20 and 21. He said, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. He said, and our people will say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. And that in you means near you. Jesus came. He was on earth for those years, and he presented himself, God in human flesh. His name was Jesus. Folks, when Jesus Christ rules in our life, he rules and reigns our lives, we'll always be able to give the right answer when God requests us of something. It's always, yes, Lord, never no. Have you ever talked with anyone that said no, Lord? I've heard family members tell about we had this son that said no, no, no. And God took him home early because he would not respond to what God wanted him to do. They had a long story to go along with that. But a lot of folks have a tendency to let TV church be all that they do. these digital phones we have. We can listen to a message. I think on my phone I have 52 translations of scripture. Now, I don't use but a few of them, of course. But it's there for people. But folks, there's something wrong with the digital church. The major thing that's wrong with the digital church is it's invisible. Think about it. You can't see the digital church. Now, I know we're seeing it on our cameras and on television and that sort of thing. But, you know, it's not the church you can become a member of either. Do they invite you to become a member of their church based on your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Never. But you know what they're asking for all the time? It'll confuse you about tithing. Just send us $1,000 and we'll send you one of these nice items. Commit $100 a month the rest of your life and we'll send you this magazine. Not knocking at all. But folks, the church is the one Jesus Christ died for. There is good reason to come to church. Our folks that have fallen by the wayside, every church. I talked with Brother Chris Hammond this past week. He's the executive director of our Georgia Baptist Convention. He said, "Brother, if there's one thing that we face, it's how we're going to bring the folks back into the church." I don't know all the answers, but it has to be an individual thing, folks. We've got to decide, I am going to support the church that I am a member of. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give unto the Lord as he has blessed me. And it'll make a difference in one's life. We're to live our lives daily before God as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, we will have a true focus. And if you'd like to turn to Acts chapter 4, I'm going to give you four things about the church that are right. Acts chapter 4. Billy Graham said this, and I don't know what year he said it, but anyway, I've recorded it from where I found it. He said, "Today we're putting our hopes in materialism, in technological progress, and in the freedom from moral absolutes. They have all failed," he said. All failed. The church has reason to exist. Jesus Christ died for every church. The why they failed, Billy Graham said, because they have been powerless to change the human heart. The heart has to be applied to what we do. It makes a difference in our life. But Jesus Christ is the potent one. He's the one with the power. He's the one, when we surrender all to him, he guides us every day of our lives. It helps us when we get up in the morning to say, "Good morning, Lord." Rather than say, "Good Lord, it's morning." We've all done that at one time or another. We're all looking for a great day. Things aren't just like we want them. But because of Jesus Christ, because of the faith we place in him, folks, life will be different. But the first few verses we deal with here from Acts chapter 4 was about the integrity of the master. And the sermon could get lengthy if I go back and set the stage for it. But anyway, this is after Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has come, and Peter and John were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were round about in the community, and they were doing some things that were not pleasing to the Sanhedrin. That's that 71-numbered group that knew all about everything. They had the answer to everything. But the scripture tells us this is the integrity of the master now that makes a difference for the church. The priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They, that is priest and the captain of the temple guard, they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Now, Jesus had risen from the dead, and they were telling people about that. And just previously, Peter, had told a man was asking for alms or whatever, and Peter said, silver and gold, I don't have anything, but, he said, in the name of Jesus, walk. The man got up and walked. So this is what these folks were, they were irritated about the resurrection. And then it tells us that they seized Peter and John because it was evening, and they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Wow. Church growth, it's telling people about Jesus. God doesn't heal everybody, but he heals some. We've all heard testimony of folks who have a new life physically, and their spiritual life has been enhanced because of that, which makes a tremendous difference. The next day, the rulers and elders and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas and John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. The question is, by what power or what name did you do this? The Sanhedrin just simply didn't like anybody presenting the fact that you could rise from the dead, that you could be healed. But they're asking that important question, by what power did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. Now, being filled means he was encouraged. He was bold. He had a boldness about him. And he was going to tell them just how it is. And so he said this to them. Rulers and elders of the people, if we are going to be called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple, and are asked how he was healed, then know this. Catch that point. He made that important for them. Then know this. You and all the people of Israel, he wants all of them to know, if it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. And then he exclaimed, and this man stands before you healed. And he quotes some Old Testament scripture. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. He's telling them about Jesus. It's in the name of Jesus. Everything we ask of God, we really ought to close our prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. It makes a difference. But the integrity that is shown here, Peter and John, standing before all these men. But that next verse, verse 12, think about how important it is. How important the church is. How important the ministry is. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Wow. No other name. Some of you probably heard people refuse to believe that. Sad. But folks, the integrity of the church sets the stage for how important the message is. It's our message to other people. Salvation is found in no one else. There's no other way by which you can be healed. There's no other name in which you can be healed. But think, to be saved rather, but think what Peter did for this cripple. Silver and gold, I don't have. But what I have, I give you. And he just said simply to him, in the name of Jesus Christ, walk. Can we imagine? What if we had been there? What if we had been one of these 5,000 that came to believe? It's been so long, I've seen somebody come down the aisle and acknowledge Jesus Christ. It's been so long that I've been in the baptistry and baptized someone. Folks, I'm failing. I don't know about you. But I'm willing to encourage churches. The integrity of Jesus Christ, the importance of the message that makes a difference for every human being on earth. Not just Baptists, as we like to think of ourselves. You know, we Baptists got it made. You folks believe this and you folks practice that. If Jesus is not involved from a salvation perspective, folks, they just as well not even call themselves a church. They need to get right with God. Understand that. We remember the scriptures. Jesus said this in John 14, I think it was verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. That's a bold statement, isn't it? That was God speaking, folks. That wasn't somebody on the street that just said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. We can tell people about Jesus Christ. We can tell them about the importance of the message. But folks, what about the impact that goes with this? Verse 13. When they saw the courage, catch that word now, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Folks, some of the best preaching I've heard, people have never sat in a Bible college, never been to a Sunday school class, and never attended seminary. And I went to church before I was born. Some of you too. And you've been in church ever since. You were born again. And you remember that you joined the church. You became a member of that church. Folks, the message has its impact. These men's lives were changed because of what they had experienced. They had been with Jesus. And they're just ordinary guys. We all can say we're ordinary, but guess what? If we know Jesus Christ, we're extraordinary. We've experienced salvation. I don't know why some of these thoughts come back to me. I guess in ministry, you'll always have some thoughts that come back and get you to thinking. I had a young mother in the church. She had doorsteps. 1, 2, 3. Came up to me and said, Brother Pastor said, I'd like to get my children baptized. I said, ma'am, let me explain something to you. So I explained about Jesus Christ. I explained about him dying for sin. I said, when these kids understand what you tell them as a mother, or maybe from the pulpit, they might understand, I don't know. But these children cannot be baptized. I'm sorry. Well, she came one more Sunday, and then what? Gone. It's not the baptism, folks, the physical baptism in water. It's the spiritual baptism. You're filled with the Spirit. God empowers you to live, to care about your family and one another. We'd have a lot more happy families today if people could understand the role Jesus plays in their life. Church is the same way. I've been in churches while I was in seminary. I had the opportunity to preach at various churches around Mississippi, Alabama, Tennessee. And I was still learning, you know, how to do it. And I've been in some churches where this was the yay side and this was the nay side. You could tell it. It's unbelievable. And if I were to tell you some of the stories of why that was true, you'd say, I can't believe it. Churches need to realize their value, not just the premises, but the church body, the content, the people involved, the impact. These men had courage. They were ordinary men, but they had been with Jesus. That's the important thing for these folks, to realize they had been with Jesus. You ever get quiet? Take your Bible, sometimes just let it fall open, or maybe just reach over and turn it open, and you read the scripture there, and bing, it hits you. That was just for me. It was just like somebody, the Lord knew what I needed, and mysteriously I turned to that page in that scripture and read it. Folks, we need to be alone with God at times, studying His Word, meditating, be quiet. I've always been an early riser. I like to get started early, and of course I close out kind of early in the evening too. But I've always felt like, you know, let's get up and get it started. Well, I didn't have time for this. Well, Sunday's coming. I'll be in Sunday school. Maybe I'll be teaching Sunday. You never know. Some people don't even know where their Bible is. I'll never forget when I realized, as a man, I needed to carry my Bible to church and be proud of it. And I learned to always take my Bible. And I've been in some churches where I don't see many Bibles in hand. Uh-oh. I might have stepped on some toes at that point. Ooh. But let's look at the next few verses. The last thought here is the inspiration we have for our ministry. Folks, we need to be inspired. The scriptures ought to inspire us, but most of all, the Spirit of God should inspire us to live according to the scriptures, to live according to His Word. We have a government that's making it through all avenues. They're doing everything they can to take away our freedom of speech, freedom to worship, freedom to pray. You can't have a Bible in this particular prayer thinking about our place, thinking about our military. When they took prayer out of schools. Folks, we've been going downhill for too long. The church has to rise to the occasion and understand Jesus Christ is the central focus of it all. The message is important, and it does have an impact on humanity. Some of you might have had a tremendous spiritual experience. Some of you just kind of casual, kind of grow into it. I think that's the way I did. But I woke up one day and realized I wasn't supposed to just sit and warm a pew. I needed to surrender my life and do whatever God would want me to do. But let's look at this idea of inspiration. See, the Bible gives us an inspiration, reading His Word. God will work through His Holy Spirit, and He'll work through His Word. For every one of us, not just a handful, but for everyone who will say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." So after they had said they were ordinary old men, unschooled, they couldn't believe it. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. They saw it. The guy had been around for a long time, and they said, "He's crippled. Now he's walking." So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then confer. That's Peter and John. He said, "What are we going to do with these guys? They're going around here speaking about Jesus, speaking about His resurrection. And this guy was a cripple And now he's walking. What are we going to do with them? He said, everybody living in Jerusalem knows they've done an outstanding miracle. And we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. Ho, ho, ho. There could be a day, folks, when officers or whomever walk through our church doors and down the aisle and says, church is closed. It's over with. It could happen. It has happened. That's what's so sad. Then they called them in again, Peter and John, commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Well, you step into the Sunday school class at First Baptist Glenville and say, you cannot teach about Jesus anymore. Teach all you want, but don't teach about Jesus. Do tell. It's all about Jesus, folks. It's all about Jesus. He died so that the church could come into existence. Well, Peter and John gave him an answer when they said, you know, we don't want you to keep on speaking about this and teaching about Jesus. But then Peter and John replied, I don't know which one was actually speaking, but anyway, they said, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. Who are we going to obey? God. The guidebook. You can't have a Bible here. You can't display a verse here or there. That's been going on in our nation and around in our military. We've got colleges that are so liberal, folks, when they come out of there, they don't even know which way to turn in the world. But thank the Lord, we've got some conservative, Bible-believing Christians that are making a difference in our world, our nation in particular. But what else did he say? He said, we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard. Wow. Folks, to be a living witness, to be able to share with somebody else what Jesus has done in your life. These guys were right there. They saw it. They walked with Jesus. They were taught by Jesus. And when the Spirit of God came down at Pentecost, they were excited about it. When Jesus said, I'm going to send you a helper, Jesus wasn't talking about somebody driving a four-wheeler or whatever. He was talking about somebody that would make a difference in one's life, the Spirit of God. And I know there's been an element in our society where people promoted the Spirit in a different way, which is so unbiblical. But God motivates us through His Spirit and through His Word. So that's part of the inspiration for it all. But notice verse 21. Said, after further threats, they let them go. What are we going to do with these guys? These little ordinary unschooled guys? They're not going to keep their mouth shut. Just let them go, I guess is how they looked at it. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. Now, I'm a little fearful of shouting and running up down the aisles in the church and jumping pews as I have seen. But folks, we ought to be excited about the ministry that we have before us. Be so inspired that we'll do what God wants us to do. So they were praising God for what had happened. And then the last verse seems so out of place, but it does have some significance. The last verse says, for the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Now, researched that a long time ago. It means that from his early age, birth maybe, he's now in his 40s, and he's been that way all that time. Never been known to walk, but there he is. Exciting. Makes a difference in one's life. Folks, ministry is important in many facets of our life. So think about the integrity of the person, Jesus Christ. The central focus of any church, any denomination. The importance of the message. It is important. Salvation is found in no one else. The impact. Just ordinary people can share Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Ordinary people. You don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to go to seminary. But being inspired. See, when you're right with God, you'll be right in the church. Isn't that amazing? You'll want to be in church. So we have a task before us, all of us, church leaders, teachers, pastors, to encourage people to be in the church physically, be seen, be able to relate to someone within the fellowship. It'll make a difference in the church. It'll make a difference in the community. It'll make a difference in each of our lives. This morning, there might be someone that has never surrendered their life to the Lord, never asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins, never acknowledged what Jesus has done for them. And we're going to sing a hymn of invitation this morning, and I encourage you to come. If you need to rededicate your life to the Lord, if you need to get some things right with the Lord, if you want prayer, please come forward. Feel free to do that.
Hello, Junior.
Even though the title says, "I worship you, Almighty God," we could say, "I come to you, Almighty God." Think that as we stand and sing, please.
We're going to have a prayer for Brother Dalton, and then
Brother Julian is going to tell us about how we're going to get to the food. Let's pray. Father, we're blessed this morning to gather together and worship you. Lord, we've had some great singing and beautiful music. We trust that the word of the Lord has meant something to somebody. But this morning, Lord, special day in the life of Dalton Albert, and we send him out with the blessings that this church has for anyone, Lord, goes out. But for him, Lord, we pray especially for him. Guide him in his teaching and what he does, what he says. And may he be a living example of who you are in that community. And Lord, we know the church, we know they'll receive him well. And we look forward to hearing good things. And always, Lord, praise you. Thank you for him, for his family. And we just send him out with the blessing of his life and the joy of serving you. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.
Before we go to the fellowship meal, we ask Brother JL and Miss Diane to come and get to the door, so they are first in line. And then I will bless the food and the fellowship. Lord, we thank you for your word, for hearing it, for being challenged to reveal and release you to the world. We thank you for an opportunity to welcome and have fellowship and nourishment in you and each other. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.